At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, daspitlaw.com.
They want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with RJ here with you. RJ and I are in studio here in Houston while Lance is at the Combine in Indianapolis. He was there all day yesterday. Let's get some insight and some scuttlebutt about what's going on from the Combine in Indy. What's going on?
What's going on, John? How you doing?
I'm doing well. So give us some juicy tidbits from yesterday.
Juicy tidbits from yesterday. Let's see. Well, the Jalen Carter stuff, you know, I kind of forgot about this until three people said something on Twitter to me about that I didn't know if I'd said it on the air or not about Jalen Carter being involved potentially in the incident involving his teammate, because I guess I had said that on the radio, something I heard about 3 weeks ago from somebody who was close to the Georgia program. So they're like, dude, you were talking about this in January and a month ago, and I was like, oh, did I say that on the radio? Okay, well, I wasn't sure if I said it on the radio, but apparently I did, because more than one person said that, so I've got a big mouth. But that was the big talk, is Jalen Carter stuff, and if you don't know, he was issued an arrest warrant for his involvement with an incident involving the death of his former teammate and a staffer. In what is going to be, and I mentioned this at the time, a street racing incident, and so he's being charged right now with a misdemeanor. So, I think what's going to happen is he left the combine. I believe what is going to happen is he's going to be charged with just, you know, being in the street race that happened. I don't think he's going to be directly involved with what happened to cause the accident, because that's, now you're getting into manslaughter territory. And I have not heard anything about that. They didn't say that publicly. Now, what I can tell you, I heard, you know, Todd McShay took a ton of bullets from everyone, from sanctimonious people who just refused to believe that this could possibly be true about his character. Todd McShay did not have this information. Todd McShay made his comments about Jalen Carter before any of this stuff happened. So it was not about that. But I'd already heard the stuff that McShay heard, so I kind of followed up on that. And at least one person for one team I spoke with said it's that the character is worse than just misses some meetings or whatever. It's a real red flag, at least for this team. At least for this team, it is a real red flag for them about what kind of professional he's going to be. And when I say stuff like that, you know, I know it's easy to slough off, but my dad worked at a guy from Georgia headed into the combine named Isaiah Wilson. You guys may remember him. He was a first-round tackle drafted by the Tennessee Titans. He never played a game. He never played a game. He was so out of control. And my dad said, you know, he said you could tell he had a little bit of BS to him when you talk to him. He said, but honestly, he kind of fooled me into thinking it was really wanted to know what I do with this move and what about this move. And maybe he did, you know, want to know about the different football stuff that he was being taught from my dad. But at the same time, this guy was like, it was just all about parties. The first incident was he was at a college party. and then jumped off of a roof.
Well, what about when he was supposed to be at the meeting and he's
supposed to be at a meeting?
Instagram.
And I think that was with a different team.
Yeah, that was when he went to the Dolphins, right?
Yeah. And he's on top of like a car dancing on his Instagram.
Through the sunroof.
He posted it.
Yeah.
He posted it. So, so Isaiah Wilson just never even played in the NFL. So it is, and I'm not saying that's not a shot at Georgia. I'm just saying, players' character in the background, when you hear about that stuff, there are times it really matters. And I'll just say this is now strike number two for Jalen Carter, because the stuff in his background, McShay wasn't wrong on it. There's and I even said at the time, I heard the same stuff. That's for sure in the background. Whatever people want to say, it's for sure in the background that they had issues with Jalen Carter at Georgia. I don't care if he fed the homeless guy or gave money, you know, bought meals for his walk-on football player. That's all great, but it doesn't change the other stuff. And now this on top of it, which is really, John, I think going to get down to, this is my guess, a case of really bad judgment to go street racing. I don't think it's going to go beyond that. I think it's just going to be, this is really dumb for you to street race, especially after Henry Ruggs wasn't street racing, but, you know, he caused the death of a woman who burned alive in her car because he was going 120 miles an hour or whatever in a suburban neighborhood, and he's in prison. And so, you know, you don't know why young guys do this stuff, but he did. I think he'll get in trouble for that. I don't believe any of this is going to kick him out of the draft. I really don't, because I don't think it's going to turn into, I don't think it's going to turn into a felony. But what has happened is there's a big light shined on this, and then Todd McShay's comments that he was making, that a lot of people said, okay, you guys, by the way, everyone who says the internet's undefeated, well, it's definitely no longer undefeated. The internet took a big loss with the way they treated Todd McShay, and so about his comments when he said that the kid had, although I knew that, and there's just no reason publicly to put that out there nationally, because all you're going to do is just, like, you're just going to get creamed. And this other stuff on Carter probably wouldn't have gotten out until around the draft, because that's usually what happens. But now it's going to be fair game, and there's going to be, and McShay may expound on what happened, because he knows that Georgia's not going to, they're not going to try to make him look bad and say, oh, no, we didn't have those issues. He knows that they can't, they have to just sit there and take it and not comment on stuff. So I think you're going to really start hearing a lot more about Jalen Carter and the issues they had with him getting to practices, listening to coaches, this, that, and the other. Now, the reason that's important is because the Chicago Bears now just lost some leverage. They just lost some leverage. And a big player, you know, depending on what happens with Jalen Carter, they can't take him one. They can't take him one, and they may not even, you never know. They may not even take him. So if they move back to four, your concern is, okay, well, who's on your board? You better like Tyree Wilson a lot. You better like Will Anderson a lot, and you better pray that the Houston Texans take quarterback. Because if they don't, you could end up, I'm telling you, Arizona is going to take a pass rusher. So if the Texans say, we'll take Will Anderson. If the Colts were to trade up, for example, and take Bryce Young, which I think it's going to be Bryce Young. Just listening to Ballard talk yesterday, I think it's going to be Bryce Young. But he didn't really give away too much. But he did say quarterback's coming all, you know. People ask him a lot of good questions that try to dig up information. So I think if the Colts moved up, it would be for Bryce Young. But I also don't get the sense. Now, we'll see if we can find what Ballard said about quarterbacks. I think you're going to find this interesting, John. It kind of echoes what I had said after the Texans lost and people were freaking out. But if Bryce Young goes one, then the Texans say, you know what? We don't like quarterback right here. We may wait until 12. And they were to go Will Anderson. Then Tyree Wilson probably goes third, and the Bears are now stuck. And they have, we either take Jalen Carter, at four, who we may have off the board for character purposes, or we trade again and let somebody come get a quarterback. And in that case, I think they would try to trade back again. So I think the reason this is Jalen Carter is an important story, it's important nationally to the NFL draft, but it's really important to the Texans because it may have just taken away some of the trade leverage that the Chicago Bears have if he is off the board for them.
So somebody may get Jalen Carter, who could be the best player in this draft,
yeah,
at a discount.
Yeah.
This could
yeah.
be.
And well, you know, and Laremy Tunsil. Miami got a discount on Laremy Tunsil because of the bong video. Jeffrey Simmons had an ACL tear.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had an ACL tear. So I don't think it was much about what happened on the video from high school. I think it was more about him having an ACL tear. But the Titans got – he was in the 20s, I think.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you got an unbelievable player. And somebody – and listen, the Bears may love Jalen Carter and say, we can't take him at one. But if we do move down to four, we can sure take him there.
Sure, and that's totally possible. I'm just giving you a scenario if they had him off the board. If they think we just don't like his football character and we're not going to miss on a guy, you know, that's if they take him off the board. So you're right. It could be at four. They look into different. They could trade twice, or they could move all the way to seven and think that they could get him there. I don't know, but I'm just saying that this is muddled. This has muddled it a little more. I will tell you what. I'll just do it right now. So Chris Ballard was asked about quarterbacks and kind of somebody who talked about kind of trading up, and they said what would it take, you know, in your mind, if you hypothetically were going to trade up or whatever, what would it take to give up the draft capital it takes to move up? He goes, you have to have somebody that you have conviction is can't miss and an unbelievable talent to move up to number one, basically. And so, you know, he said all the right things about all the quarterbacks, but he basically was telling you, if you're going to move to one, you better think this guy mm-hmm. can't miss.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable. And I just, because he said, who says that we have to move up to get anybody? He said, you know, people, he said, there's scenarios where we're going to get whoever we want. And he goes, absolutely. And so I don't know who they want. You know, I don't expect him to tell me. I may get to talk to him a little bit this week, but he won't tell me that. But I'm not – the way he said it, I don't think in his mind, unless he's forced to do it, I don't think he would and this isn't his personality anyway to trade up. But you would have to be, you know, the Trevor Lawrence type. And I just don't – I've never felt like that's not – even if you love the way he plays, you can't get there because the one big component, which is potential durability, is missing with Bryce. So I'm not sure that it's just this lock that Chicago that the Indianapolis Colts are going to move up. I think the Bears will try to leak stuff to try to create tension. But the Texans may be best served just really being patient and playing chicken. I think that might be the best course of action.
Well, and I think Ballard was saying too that you don't know who we think is the best. And
yeah.
And that, listen, did you see Pro Football Focus grades on under pressure?
Yeah, but that's, I will tell you, I saw that yesterday and I saw some people responding to that. Those are grades, but that's also, you get a positive for being a mobile quarterback who can get out of the pocket. Like, you notice who was last, right?
You should get a positive for that, though.
No, there's no question, but I can show you. You want to see accuracy under pressure? Because the accuracy under pressure, if you under pressure run for a touchdown like that, that's it should be a positive. But when it comes to passing under pressure, it's a little different. Like, that's what Daryl Morey would call data dredging.
Yeah.
Where you go try to find, because, you know, people are finding narratives for Anthony Richardson that they want. So if you'd like, right. I could, it'll take
but listen,
one break.
Listen,
and I
you
can
don't
show
have,
you some.
You don't have to sell anybody on Anthony Richardson and his athleticism, his arm.
Biggest upside in the draft.
The biggest upside. He could be a super, superstar. For those of you who don't know, Pro Football Focus, passing grade for under pressure, Anthony Richardson had 66 or 50 attempts, and he had a passing grade of 66.
So if you want to know, the grades, their grades typically, a good grade is going to be at least in the high 70s. But this is under pressure. Like, this is
under pressure, right.
Yeah.
Bryce Young was second. Will Levis was third, and C.J. Stroud was way back under pressure.
Yeah, because he has – now, C.J. Stroud also was not sacked very much at all. So he gets rid of the ball, too. So I don't know – you know, I don't love the grading stuff because I've gone through – I see their grades on everything I look at, and there are times where I say, man, this just doesn't make any sense. And sometimes the problem is the sample size isn't big enough. So I don't always love their grades, honestly. Like, I would rather see things – like what the completion percentage is, you know, under pressure. I'd rather, instead they say it graded, well, what's the completion percentage? Why didn't you just include that? That's a better – that's something – a grade is a subjective thing, a plus minus. I need to see – like just put their completion percentage. It's more interesting and it's easier to quantify. The grade now becomes something that you know, someone can use that to try to, oh, look, he's got the highest grade. Well, how does he throw under pressure? They could have just easily put that data out there and they chose not to. And maybe his is the best. I don't know, but I would have liked to have seen that. And that's stuff I look at, John, like – every quarterback who's at least a first-round quarterback, I go look at them. There's a – in PFF, my Pro Football Focus is tied to my tape, so I can go put – in my filters, I can put under pressure. Now, you know, sometimes pressure is not – it's not really that much whenever I'm watching on tape. So they're what they call pressure sometimes kind of light. But if you want real pressure, you know, go watch Kenyon Martin, pass pro. That creates pressures.
All right, let's take one here. We got to take one here. We got to hear from D'Amico on the other side. Lance has a bit of a man crush. You think that he's a very handsome man and he's got a big presence. That we know for sure. We heard that yesterday.
Yeah. I didn't get to see him, unfortunately.
No, you were doing your show when he was on. But yeah, we've got all the sound from him, and we'll talk about some of the stuff that he talked about yesterday. But first, I'm talking about, listen, this is a big golf week for me because I've got a bunch of buddies in town, and the first place that we played was Highland Pines. And listen, I am such an enthusiast about Highland Pines that I am joining. This is the best value, guys. I've checked it out because I wanted to join. My buddies are members of clubs and whatnot, and I wanted to reciprocate with them so that, you know, I wasn't always just going to their club. I wanted to have them at my club, and I'm going over to Highland Pines. I'm joining. I think it's the best deal in the city. For one low price, you get three golf courses. You're getting Highland Pines, you're getting Augusta Pines, and you're getting Glenlock Pines, and you can, you know, play anytime. You have a huge advantage. Now, they're all semi-private, but so you got daily fee as well, but you have an advantage when you're a member that you get to get your tee times 10 days in advance. So here's the deal. I think it's unbelievable. I think it's the best deal. Because if you haven't seen Highland Pines, if you haven't played Highland Pines yet, if you haven't heard of Highland Pines yet, it's really, really – it's our first new golf course in nearly two decades here in this city, and they have done an unbelievable job. Wooded, beautiful ponds, elevation changes, the greens have – the undulation in the greens. But the thing is that it's zoysia grass. Everything stands up in the fairway. And then when you get to the green, the laser zoysia is something that's new and different than anywhere else in the world. It is spectacular, people. The greens are – you can actually – you know, you hit a ball mark onto the green. There's barely ever a ball mark, but yet the ball stops. And yet you try to fix it, your ball mark, with your tee or with your fixer, and it's like crunchy. It's unbelievable. And you get perfect, perfect rolls every time. I'm really a big fan, really, really a big fan. And if you're a golfer and you haven't played Highland Pines yet, you need to get over there and see for yourself what they're doing over there and then find out about the memberships as well. So go to golfhighlandpines.com, golfhighlandpines.com. I'm telling you, you're going to love it. It's new. It's wonderful. Golfhighlandpines.com.
ESPN. 97.5.
Yo, life is just like chess, you can't play dumb, but keep playing your part until your day come. Gotta get back to work soon as your break done, soon as you're doing something right, that's when the hate come.
You are listening to Houston's longest running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. D'Amico Ryan's met the media yesterday. Obviously, the most important situation for the Houston Texans is at the quarterback position. That is the most unsettled. That is the most important position on the team. The most important position maybe in sports, in America anyway. And the Texans certainly don't have an answer yet. D'Amico Ryans addressed the quarterback position yesterday when he met the media.
Quarterback, we have one quarterback on the roster, right? So we have to add to that position, and we'll do it. Through free agency and the draft, we have to add two guys to our roster. So looking to find the best guys that we can add. Then there's a good group of quarterbacks in free agency and in the draft.
And then he talked about the system It needs to be built around that quarterback. He knows the importance of getting a good quarterback, but the system needs to be built around that quarterback.
I think when you're evaluating quarterbacks, different quarterbacks can do a lot of different things, and I think the system is built around the quarterback as opposed to trying to fit a quarterback into a certain system. So it's all about the player that you have, not only a quarterback, but that's a receiver. Like, what does that guy do well? Linebackers, what do they do well? And you put guys in positions, as coaches, you put guys in position to be successful. So it's not about a system per se. It's about just making sure that player has the right tools and you're putting him in a spot where he can thrive.
Mm-hmm. Lance, the Texans are in a situation at number two, and if they move up to number one, there's no doubt Bryce Young's going to have to be on the field immediately, right? If they're at number two, if they evaluate Anthony Richardson as the best guy, they're not in a position to put Anthony Richardson at number two. I don't feel like he walks in and he's the starting quarterback on week one, right? Bryce Young, yes. Anthony Richardson, no.
Yeah, no, no.
Will Levis?
I think you're asking for trouble. He's got sacked a lot, by the way. And here's my biggest problem with Will Levis as a Texan. One of my biggest problems with Will Levis, big sack totals, and too many of them are because he hangs on to it too long. I think he's going to be a chronically sacked guy in the NFL, and that's and he actually has mobility. That's your biggest concern. Although a lot of times the most mobile guys get sacked the most because they hang on to it for too long. But that's not really the profile for Will Levis in terms of how he operates. So I would be worried with Will Levis stepping in at two in terms of right onto the field. I would want him to actually wait too. And Richardson wait. And Stroud, honestly, you're better off. Stroud should be in the same category with those guys. So what – I had an assistant GM tell me is that all the Ohio State quarterbacks, the system is so good that they don't really have to read defenses. And they have such good wide receivers that I mean, they read defenses, but it's not like in the NFL, not like Bryce Young has to get through stuff or even Levis because they are in a pro-style system. So the Ohio State system allows for, and the same thing's true with Hendon Hooker. His is just a different offense where you kind of know where you're going, even though I've seen C.J. Stroud do full field reads. Like, I know he knows how to read defenses, but apparently there's just some major differences. And so C.J. Stroud may need to see – he might be a guy that you bench for the first, you know, six games, and then you bring Stroud in. Richardson, I don't play in year one. I don't play Levis in year one, honestly, and unless, you know, it gets to the end and you're not good and you start giving him some starts. Bryce Young, I'm starting day one. I mean, Bryce Young steps on the field and he's a day one starter. Stroud, I may force him to earn it. And if Stroud wins, that's fine. I think he's competent enough that he's not going to be shaken by, you know, a little bit of pocket pressure. Richardson won't be shaken by it, but he's not ready. He doesn't read defense as well. And it's going to take time.
713-780-3776.
Would you trade back, John? What about that? If you were to trade back out of two, I mean, I think you're tempting fate because...
Well, somebody might grab that guy that you want. I don't know that the Texans have the ability to...
Yeah, because it could be anybody at that point. Like, if you traded with the Raiders, I mean, they could come up and say Stroud.
Right.
I mean, not Stroud, but they could come up and say Richardson.
Well, unless
you
your
like,
guy...
Oh, we wanted
unless
him.
Your guy is Stetson Bennett, then I don't think you can trade back.
Yeah.
Because any of those guys... Any
yeah,
of those
it's a coin flip. I don't know how they're going to be stacked.
Yeah, I don't listen.
Right? I have no idea.
I wouldn't be surprised at all if all four of those guys, every team has a different four, a different order for those.
I do not think it'd be crazy if C.J. Stroud is the fourth quarterback taken. Remember that happened with Justin Fields. Justin Fields was the fourth quarterback taken. Everyone was like, "Oh, he's the second," and then Zach Wilson and Trey Lance moved ahead of him, and he was fourth. I don't think it's crazy. Remember. Trey Lance, it was the big upside, didn't have enough experience, whatever. Well, that's Richardson. And, oh, the arm talent and can make all these different throws. Well, that's kind of Levis. So, you know, and that's Zach Wilson. So I'm just saying it wouldn't be a complete shock if Stroud was a fourth quarterback off the board because I think you're right. I think teams are going to have way different – and that I'll throw in Bryce Young too. I think there's going to be teams that have Bryce Young second. I know of one team that does have Bryce Young third.
Mm-hmm.
They have Bryce Young third
yeah.
because they say he's too small.
That's it.
So we're going to have him third. So it's going to be a wild set of rankings. So you're right. It's so inconsistent, man. It would be a ballsy move to move back. You'd have to really like three of the four quarterbacks to do that.
Absolutely. Well, Stetson Bennett could be your guy.
He's not going to be your guy in the first.
Who's saying that Stetson Bennett can't be the best quarterback in this draft? Come see me if you're going to say that.
I'm saying that.
We'll throw hands.
I'm saying that, John. He's not going to be the best. I don't even know if he's getting drafted. He should be.
And who was Little, Mr. Irrelevant this year?
Little with – you gave him – you bumped him up when he got public intoxication.
Yeah, I love that.
You bumped Stetson up around.
I love that about him. P.I.? He wasn't driving. He was just P.I. No. I love that.
Just gritty.
He's a gritty man of the people, okay? Yeah. He's a man of the people. 728 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3. Nothing says man of the people like Stetson Bennett. A name like Stetson? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, that's true. Or he could work on Yellowstone.
I saw a guy yesterday. Last night, we went over to the Brazil, Casa de Brazil.
Chamagalcha?
Casa de Brazil.
Casa de Brazil, right?
Yeah,
right here.
We had wonderful dinner with the Brazilian steakhouse. It's unbelievable. A guy had a Yellowstone Y on his shirt.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, what now? Are you working? Are you on the trail ride right now? Are you kidding me? I love that.
Yellowstone.
You know
that's not a real ranch, sir. I assume it's not. I know the Duttons
don't exist. I
don't
know, but this dude had a giant Y on his shirt, yellow Y on his shirt. I would love that. All right, time to talk about right now about the rest of pros. Listen, my peeps, Nikki and Daniel, love what they did for us, and it's so important. And Daniel told me a story about a woman who had water. She got back with her two young kids from a vacation, and her whole house was underwater. And she was like, oh, my gosh, pipe burst while they were gone. And she's literally in tears. And Daniel said, take it easy. We're going to get this done. He got it done. And he said, again, when it was done, she was literally in tears about what a fantastic job that they did. If you have a management company and you're managing houses or you're managing if you're managing apartment buildings, if you are a roofer, if you are a plumber, and you need somebody to come in and you need somebody to extract the water and to make it all right, to dry the place out, to save the floors, to save the walls, to save everything, that's what the rest of pros are doing. That's what they did for us. We thought we were in, it was going to be unbelievably expensive, and it couldn't have turned out better. And we had the insurance company there, and they were there with the insurance company, and they went through the whole thing, and we got, it couldn't have been a better experience when we thought it was going to be a horrible experience. And when you have water in your home, it's a horrible experience. Go to 975restoration.com and let these people take care of it, because they're awesome. 975restoration.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Alone, every night alone. Why am I alone? I know that you want me to. Am I wrong? Tell me that I'm wrong. Tell me I deserve all the pain that you put me through.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
733 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm just looking through a list, Lance, of the smaller school prospects who can make a big impact. You don't know if Tyson Badgett from Shepherd isn't the best quarterback in this draft. You don't know.
I do know that for an absolute fact.
No, you don't know. Oh, did
you know about
Phil
his
Sims?
Dad?
Did you have Phil Sims on your board? No. Phil Sims came from...
Was I born? I don't even know.
Yeah, he came from a small school, and guess what happened?
Guess what? I had Major over Chris Sims. I had Major Applewhite over Chris Sims. There's another W for me.
Yeah,
the
preeminent
draft expert on the station.
You won, and you better watch yourself, because Chris Sims is there. So I saw him in a picture.
I saw him with Florio. Yeah, I walked by them yesterday. Did you see... Do you know about Tyson Badgett from Shepherd? His dad is a champion arm wrestler. He is yoked up.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and apparently Badgett's got this swinging D attitude, the kid. Like, you know, I guess I'm the best on the planet. You know, one of these.
I love that. He's all.
I may play Shepard, but I already know I'm the best on the planet.
He's got a sleeve.
Like,
he's got
he is the best on the planet.
Did you see him at the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, I saw him there. I saw the dad on sideline too.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, he played
arm wrestling champ, dude.
Arm wrestling champ. I love that. I'll arm wrestle him sometime though. I love arm wrestling.
You'll get your arm snapped like a viral video.
Is that right? We'll see about that, Badgent. Let's get Joe in here. He's been waiting a little while. He wants to talk about college NIL. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, so I don't think that the NIL is going away, and I don't think that it's necessarily great. But I feel like if they, you know, hearing what Bama says, Zane, or Saban saying that they'll pay them after the season, kind of made me think, why don't they just tell these kids or the NCAA come up with a mechanism? The problem with the NCAA is it's just like with COVID. They just disappeared, and they had no stance on anything, and everybody was just able to do what they wanted. But I think at this NIL deal, you say, look, this is the pool of money that we have to give at the end of the year. If you earn it, you don't kill people. You don't street race. You get out there and you perform, you get your slice of this pie.
But then they would have to be directly responsible for that. And that's the problem, is they can't have direct, like, teams cannot be directly responsible for the money, and because it's supposed to be a separate entity. So that's the problem with that. Now, I agree with you on the NCAA has to set some kind of standards at some point. But you know, you think about this, John. Think about the NBA, right? The players.
I think
are
he's saying being a good citizen. Forget how you do it.
Well, I know,
but getting
paid
for being a good citizen.
Did you get your money at the end of the year?
All,
but they,
you don't get your money until it's all set.
They're not. Who's going to do that?
Then you got to decide who's going to decide that. Who's a good and bad person and all that. I mean, I don't.
Yeah,
know.
That you haven't been in trouble. Like, how? What's the marker for trouble? And yeah, it just creates. Not to mention, if they have their social media posts, a lot of places it's supposed to be, okay, you get a little bit up front, and then after you have your social media posts or whatever it is, you get paid again a second time. And I know University of Houston does it where they pay monthly. It's like whatever the money coming in, you get a monthly check, and they're taking taxes out for you. The Houston Linking Cougs, their collective, they got it really locked down. Like, it's a really good system, and I think it's a really smart system. You know, we don't give it all at once. I guess they give it to them on a monthly basis, from what I understand. So that's a really good system. And they're doing tremendous. You know, they've done like $2 million for the basketball team. They've done great work. You see Marcus Sasser. Every other post is an NIL deal. Companies, yep, I've never even heard of.
That's great.
So,
no, but
yeah,
and
they've
and
really
you know
done
that's
an incredible
great for
deal.
Future. I'm going to tell you what, dude. Texas lost again at TCU.
Right.
Kansas struggled against West Virginia last week. The Big 12, you better be paying these. You better have it in place. And Dana's like, hey, how about me over here? Okay, mm-hmm. let's do something over. Because Kelvin certainly has it set up for the future with the NIL and everything else. I'm not saying he has a hand in it. I'm saying they have a system in place that's awesome because they're going to need it. The Big 12... Even with Texas and Oklahoma leaving, the Big 12 is a beast, and it's going to be a monster, and it's going to be a lot different going forward for the University of Houston. I don't think that there's any question. You're not getting these teams that you're facing right now in the American. But we didn't even mark this. You know, Mark Emmert's run as NCAA president ended Tuesday. I want you to go, Lance, and now start naming all of his major wonderful accomplishments as the president of the NCAA over 12 years. 12 years he was president.
Well, right. Okay, so that's going to take up this segment, the next segment.
Nah, it's not going to take any time at all.
I don't think we have enough time, John. I'd like to do it, but I don't think we have enough time.
That dude is the worst. Here's what our boy Pat Forty, who has been on with us plenty. If there's a less respected current CEO of any organization, I don't know who it is. Stuart Mandel. Today is Mark Emmert's last day as NCAA president. Let's take a moment to highlight his accomplishments over the last 12 years. Blank, 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 blank.
He's an overseer.
He
is
the worst CEO of any organization ever. Ever.
Yeah.
He was awful.
To be fair, I don't know exactly what his job is, but he's done. I think he had a golden goose, and all he did was just, I'll just make sure the house doesn't catch on fire, and then the house caught on fire. But actually, I don't think the house – well, I think he could have pushed. Actually, he could have pushed for additional stipends and things that made more sense as his, because now you don't have ground to stand on. You look
like
a fool.
Well, he could also led a guideline for NIL, and here's how this is going. Let's put together
afraid of lawsuits.
Students, athletic
they lost in Supreme Court.
Presidents, there was, let's put this together and let's make a plan as
opposed
to just
Supreme
sticking
Court?
Your head in the sand and saying, we're out, okay?
I don't know
that there's been a worse CEO. Bill O'Brien, as general manager of the Texans, is the only person that I think is as close as incompetent to what Mark Emmert did as NCAA president. That's going pretty far. That is something if you can get in Bill O'Brien neighborhood, okay? That is something, because that incompetence was unmatched until Mark Emmert's retirement here. And when you look over his tenure as president, you're like, I think they're pretty comparable. I think that's the Mount Rushmore of CEO incompetence right there. Those two are at the head. Let's get Cameron in here. He wants to talk about his Texans. Hey, Cameron.
Hey, how you doing? Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Cameron.
Okay, first of all, I'm a big-time Falcon fan, But
okay.
I do like to see my home team win. And if the Texans coaching staff and everything was incompetent, why wouldn't Davis Mills get a fair chance to be the good quarterback under the right leadership? Who's to say Davis Mills is not what they need him to be?
He's had a pretty good shot, though, hasn't he, Cameron? I mean, he had a whole – even though Pep Hamilton wasn't very good, I mean, the year before he finished pretty strong and there was a lot of indications that there was upside with Davis Mills. But I think we saw – maybe you're right. Maybe Pep Hamilton's offense, lack of weapons, the offensive line wasn't
it
great.
It could have been better.
Blocking.
It could have been better. He did not have a great situation.
He could have been better, though. He's had a shot. I mean, like, I love when guys take opportunities. Justin Durden right now in Astros spring training – you know what? That is awesome. You get an opportunity and you take advantage of it and you're good. I mean, sometimes you got to overcome other guys, Cameron. Listen, did he get a fair shake? I don't know. Kenyon Green was awful, pass blocking. A wide receiver, Brandon Cooks, quit on the team. And Nico was injured. I mean, he did it with I don't know if anybody could have succeeded at quarterback, but he missed a lot of throws that he could have made.
Hold on. Is he trying to say they just got rid of Marcus Mariota? Cameron, are you trying to say you want the Falcons to trade for Davis Mills and give us a second? Is that what you're trying to say? And let him and Ritter fight it out?
Let's see.
If that's what you're trying to say, we can make that happen.
Well, I'm sorry. Do you speak for Mr. Davis? I'm sorry. Do you speak for the Houston Texans organization?
Do I speak
now?
For Mr. McNair?
Mr. McNair, do you?
Not yet.
Yeah, right.
But I haven't spoken with Hannah McNair yet, so I'm hoping to have.
Well, Cal's the president. I don't know if you heard.
Well, okay.
You better go to Hannah. Better go find out if Hannah's ready to trade Davis Mills for a second rounder to the Falcons. I think. Well, if they wouldn't do that, then you know what? The vote is in. Dumbest organization ever. Because since you're a Falcon fan, Cameron, we'll give you Davis Mills.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
No, not a problem whatsoever.
If that's what you're asking for. I think his question's a fair one. It's just he's not a first rounder, so he's a third rounder. So, it's not fair, but third rounders don't get the same opportunities first rounders get.
Yeah.
That's just the fact.
Well, and he had plenty of opportunities, though. It's not like they benched him, they brought him back. There were plenty of throws out there to be made, and he didn't make them. Even when he was wasn't under arrest, there were plenty of times you just went, oh, my goodness, that's a terrible, terrible throw right there. I just feel like it's not like Davis Mills didn't get a shot. Davis Mills had ample opportunity to show that he was right. Now, he's a young guy, and sometimes young guys take longer to develop. I get that. You just can't, Cameron, keep going back to that well and hoping that there's water in it. Because you got to dig somewhere else. And they're digging right now. And they'll dig. If they don't dig this offseason, guess what? Then there ain't going to be anybody to drink that water in the building. There ain't going to be anybody in that building if you continue to say, well, we feel like Davis Mills is the answer here.
Well, no, but he's, you know, his question, I think it's valid. Has he really been given an opportunity? It's irrelevant. It's no.
He has,
no,
given, he has
but,
been
but
given.
But he has, yeah. He's had an opportunity to get better. He wasn't better this year than last year.
No. And, yeah, and he had, I mean, he got benched. He got benched, and then they brought him back, and he still was the same. He never, ever, you're right. He didn't get better. He regressed. All right. You desperate? Call Despot.
I haven't heard. He didn't text me to tell me if he heard that yesterday or not. But that's John's new catchphrase. And I don't know if it's – did you have to be desperate? But let's face it, you probably are desperate because if you've been injured through no fault of your own – I mean, he's wrapping up a big refinery blast case right now for several people. And that's one of those things where they're going to have issues for – maybe the rest of their life, unfortunately. And there are a lot of people who are injured like that, who get hit by an 18-wheeler and are badly injured. Hospital stays, physical therapy. I've seen somebody in physical therapy who had that kind of an accident, and they've got a knee that's never going to be the same again. And that's where the pain and suffering comes in, because they're basically, the insurance companies are going to pay you for your life of misery with that knee. And that's, you know, it's unfortunate, but that actually does happen. And that's why there are people like John Daspit who are there helping people like that. This isn't slipping Jimmy type stuff from Better Call Saul. We're talking about people who are really hurt and who really need some help, because the insurance agencies, imagine this, they're out there trying to squeeze you. Well, who would have guessed that? Well, John Daspit and Daspit Law, they are fighting to make sure that you get a fair settlement, and that's what they're going to do. If they have to go to court, they will go to court. But you don't want to see John Daspit in court, because that guy gets a ton of W's. So make sure that you have John Daspit on your side to fight back against the bullies and make sure that you're being represented properly when you've been injured through no fault of your own. Passionately pursuing justice for the injured for years now, John Daspit will take care of you as well. 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or go to Daspit Law, DASPITLaw.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
You pray for my demons, girl, I got you. Every time I sip up, I get vulnerable. Annoying the sounds of the storm when it comes. She understand I can't take her everywhere I'm going. I've been in the field.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hey, welcome back. 748 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. Evan Drellich is going to join us. Drellich or Drellich?
Drellich.
Drellich is going to join
it
us.
Is?
He wrote the book on, well, about cheating. All right. Author.
That's
of
a
the,
German name. I know German names. That's Drellich.
He doesn't want everybody to know he's German. People don't want.
We're not embarrassed about being German.
I
did
think
you see
you
all,
should be. I think,
did you see
I really
All Quiet on the Western
be.
Front? Did
I,
you see I, All Quiet on the Western Front?
I saw it.
Wow.
Wow.
What a feel-good
it
movie.
It was very uplifting.
It's like if Saving Private Ryan only had that one scene the entire
it.
Movie.
The whole time.
Like, holy crap, no upside here. Like, where's the good stuff? Just when they run into they end up killing a bunch of people to find some bread? And they're like,
that's it?
The time they steal the goose and eat the goose?
That's it?
Is this as good as it gets?
Holy.
And the answer is yes. That was as good as it got.
Yeah.
It's a good movie, but, you know, the high point is they stole a goose and then cooked the goose and everyone was all excited. And one guy may have...
That's
what, hit it with some that, French girls. It,
yeah, well, yeah. It in yeah. The high point of the show was we ate dinner. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
He's the author of the book "Winning Fixes Everything."
Hey, I talked to Richard Justice yesterday, or no, on Wednesday. He was asking me some draft stuff he's writing for Gallery Sports, and he said, "Hey, have you read Evan Drellich's book?" I said, no, I saw some of it. I got a PDF copy and was reading. He goes, oh, my gosh. He said, the stories he has in there, he was saying that, oh, my gosh, I don't even want to get these wrong. But he said Drellich has stories about how, you know, Jeff Luneau was just icing people left and right and fired, you know, the last of them. He made a comment about, oh, you're the last man standing. And that guy, he fired, apparently, Luneau fired a the guy who was working him out, like the Astros, I guess he worked for the Astros doing, was a physical trainer or whatever. And then Jeff had him work him out for like an hour or whatever. And then ended up firing him the next day. And it's like some of the stories he said he has in there are just really not great with the Astros about things that happened that he got directly from the people that were involved with it. So it's not all about the Astros. It takes a while for him to get there, but he's got some non-flattering stuff, I think, that's in there about Jim Crane and the way the Astros were run under Jeff Leno.
And
we know that baseball people really had an issue with, like, when all the stuff went down with Brandon Taubman. I think they were sitting – I think baseball people, media people, all had stories. I don't think the Astros probably – maybe necessarily treated everyone great, unfortunately. They're a winning product, and that's, you know, what I care. I don't have to deal with the other stuff. But I think there was probably some real fire to the smoke that a lot of these people knew that the Astros maybe did not have a great culture behind the scenes, and there were some people maybe not treated great. And that's why there were a lot of baseball people who were more than media people who were more than happy to let the Astros take as many bullets as they caught, even though they knew that other people were cheating. Like they didn't go out of their way to try to say, well, guys, before we scapegoat the Astros, I think a lot of baseball media people just don't like the Astros, and maybe, you know, maybe there's some validity to it based on what.
Yeah, there was some. I mean,
you know, that's fine. Listen, I like the team. The team is different to me than what's going on behind the organization.
Well, and you know what, winning fixes everything. Winning at all costs. A toxic environment. We've heard all kinds of stuff about the Jeff Luno Rain at the Houston Astros. Somebody's going to write a book about Bill O'Brien's tenure as general manager as well. The stuff that went on behind the scenes, the backstabbing, the Jack Easterby stuff, it is book worthy. Somebody at some point is going to document all of that stuff, and it's going to look awful for that organization as well. So, but speaking of baseball, since we're on the subject of baseball, Hunter Brown pitched yesterday, and he tied the Red Sox 4-4. Hunter Brown didn't have his command. He walked in a run, hit another batter, and he just didn't have it. He says he's trying to get his sliders down and away and throw heaters in the zone. He didn't get that. There is zero reason to be for concern about it. He said, you know, I think I was a little quick. He said he's trying to get his timing right. He actually has some experience with the pitch clock, where a lot of guys don't have any experience with it whatsoever because he pitched in the minors last year. And so, you know, he's going to be up at the big league level, and he's going to be able to. You got it? You got it? Okay. Let's hear from Hunter Brown about his start yesterday, which wasn't great.
No, I mean, like you said, though, when I was in AAA and then I went up to the big leagues, we didn't have it. So it was like first time in a little bit. You know, on the backfields, obviously, we have it, but it's not really enforced as much. You know, you're not going to lose a ball to him. So, just first game of spring, you know. So, I guess just kind of sped up a little bit and, you know, just hopefully just kind of figure that out.
Yeah. I'm not over. I love the Justin Durden story. We'll see. He threw out another guy at the plate yesterday. He was 0-for-1, but he threw a guy out at the plate. He's got a gun. He's a real prospect. He's got a chance to make the big club. We'll see. As long as it's way early yet in spring training, but he's a guy that Dusty Baker is looking at actually, and Dusty talked about Justin Durden as well. But I have zero. If the guy's working on sliders, guy's trying to get command of his fastball, first start. You know, you got the pitch clock where you're hurrying. He was a little quick with his wind up and his motion to the plate. All of that stuff gets worked out. I'm concerned. You would lose Verlander. You lose McCullers. You're a lot thinner on that rotation now. I mean, I love the rotation. If we've been pretty spoiled, Lance. This rotation has stayed healthy for the most part. Lance McCullers has been the only guy. You know, Justin Verlander obviously went down for a little bit, and Justin Verlander was out for 2 years, but Justin Verlander went down for a little bit. But, for the most part, this rotation has been so solid, so steady, it's almost a little jarring right now to think, hey, this is not we don't have every game we have a dominant starter. Every game we have the advantage pitching wise.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good feeling. It's a pretty good feeling. It's like being, you know, it's like for years what it was like when Alabama took on, let's see, we're going to play, here's our stretch, Vanderbilt, Kentucky, South Carolina, and then we play Mississippi State. Well, you got an advantage every single at wide receiver over every single cornerback every single game. You know what a huge – you know what happens when that happens? You go to the national championship a lot. You know what happens when you see that in baseball? You go to the World Series a lot. Same concept. When you're better at most positions, you have a huge advantage to go that far. And that's why, to me, it's time to panic big time about Hunter Brown. And because I want every pitcher to be a one. I want ones across the board.
Every outing in spring training.
I want it like a video game that my son made, like Mason, when he makes these unbelievably impossible players to defeat who are all 7 foot with like 96% three-point shooting. You know, make up my own fake team. That's what I want my Astros pitching to be. Somebody invented a game on MLB The Show, and they invented a team with all the highest ratings for everyone. That's what I want the Astros.
What's really nice for Hunter Brown this spring, is that I don't think he has to prove himself. He can go out there and work on his slider. He can go out there and work on locating his fastball. He doesn't have to worry because a lot of guys trying to make the team are I got to get out. I just got to get everybody out. Forrest Whitley, he's got to get guys out. There's no question about that. He can't go out there and go, well, I'm just working on stuff right now just to get ready for. No, you got to make a team. I don't think Hunter Brown has to make a team, which is nice. Here's what he said when he's looking for what he's looking to accomplish this spring training.
Yeah, I mean, I think just like slider location is probably number one for me. Kind of take away those uncompetitive reps and just kind of hammer the spots I need to with that.
Just hitting spots. I love that. You know what? He's just got to get ready for the season. And that's got to be a good feeling, especially for a guy who, you know, he's coming up from last year. He's proven himself, right? What he has done, actually, I saw a stat. Where is it? MLB Network. I got to find it. MLB Metrics put out a stat of him, and gosh, dog it, my memory is just so awful. Just him and one other great pitcher that started the way he has with 20 starts in the big leagues. He's just been. I don't know how great so far. Hunter Brown has been for this team. I mean, he's off to a really Hall of Fame start. So it's fantastic to look at. And when he struggles a little bit like he did yesterday, oh well, get it right. Get yourself ready. Let's go. And then get ready for I want you to be ready for April. I ain't worried about right now. 758 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time for me to talk about my people over at Chastang Ford. And this is something that you guys, you're not going to find anywhere else. You are not going to find the deals that you're finding at Chastang Ford. You're not going to find 0% financing. You're not going to find no payments for 90 days. You're not finding nothing down. It's just not happening. Well, it's happening at Chastang Ford. It's happening every day at Chastang Ford, and it's happening with cars on the lot that you can drive off today. That's what's going on. 2022 and 2023 Ford F-150s. It's truck month there. Nothing down for 36, nothing down, no payments for 90 days, and 0% financing for 36 months. This is unbelievable. XLs, XLT, Tremor, Lariat, King Ranch, Platinum, Raptor, Limited, Hybrid, Power Boost, Half Gas, and Half Electric, that's what you're looking for, or just All Gas. Whatever it is you're looking for, you're getting the best product. And at Chastang Ford, you're getting the best deal. At Chastang Ford, you're getting an honest deal. You're getting everything that they can possibly do. They're not keeping that Ford rebate money. They're not keeping it. They're giving it to you. They're making sure that you're getting your payments where they have to be. They're making sure that you're getting everything that you possibly can for Ford. They're getting you the best financing they can possibly get. They work so hard. They work my deal so hard, they'll work your deal. Every single deal that I've seen, they work so hard to make sure that you're getting the best deal that you can possibly get in that vehicle that you want, okay? Now, these are on the lot, okay? So you're going to take as is. If you want to order, you can do that as well. But when you're looking for that car or truck, especially now, truck month, Chastang Ford. ChastangFord.com, 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.